Hey guys, welcome back to the Play Like a Girl podcast, one of the shows for SB Nation's Ohio State site, Land Grant Holy Land. We're two girls talking about sports because our opinion counts too. I'm your host, Tia Johnston, and I'm joined by my co-host, Meredith Hine.
Thanks for tuning in today. In last week's episode, we previewed the national championship, and Tia and I discussed how we thought Alabama could be beatable. Those were much happier times.
Yeah, I should have just shut my mouth, but instead I was like, Mac Jones is overrated, and Alabama's defense is this, this, and that, which, like, okay, Alabama's defense wasn't special. On the other hand, Devontae Smith, he is special. Oh my God.
So special.
I knew he was good, but Meredith, I was not expecting that.
I mean, and again, this is the challenge that we have when we didn't have a full non-conference, or when you don't have a full non-conference season, yeah. Is you can't rack and stack. Like, in theory, Mac Jones might have been overrated. Although, no, I'm lying. There's no way that Devontae Smith is, like, overrated. He really is just that dominant, yeah, against anyone he plays. And we saw that certainly against Sean Wade.
Right. And I do stand by, if you have Devontae Smith as a wide receiver, you're going to be a good quarterback. Like, not saying he's not talented. Like, he's a very talented quarterback. But, like, Devontae Smith makes his life easier.
Oh, yeah. And,
I mean, you can say the same thing for Ohio State. Like, Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson, I mean, all of Ohio State's receivers combined kind of equal, like, a Devontae Smith situation, where Justin Fields' job is pretty easy. But when he's injured, like, then you kind of have to rely a little bit on Trey Sermon in your run game. Well, one freaking play into the game.
The reality is, and we'll get to this in a little bit, I'm sure, like, we should be happy we were there. It's, you know, we're still one of the two best teams in the country, clearly. But, like, in terms of things that we can actually be sad about, the fact that Trey Sermon did not have a chance in this game and only got to play one play and then was knocked out and clearly in so much pain, like, that's something that we can all feel pretty sad about.
I can't even imagine, like, how he was feeling, and I'm sure he felt like he was letting his team down, even though there's nothing he could have done. But
no.
I mean, the guy was in his prime. Like, he was going up and up and up, and I just knew that he was going to have, like, this huge game. I just knew it, because I've read all these things that Alabama's defense isn't that great against the run game, and I'm like, oh my God, Trey Sermon is going to have a hell of a game, and then he gets hurt. But, like, I feel gypped of not getting to see him more than we did.
Oh, same. And, you know, we're going to see all of these things shake out in the next few weeks. The NCAA has very much been flexible with its eligibility rules in 2021, but, like, yeah, you have to wonder, and of course, you know, we'll never know for sure, like, if the game would have been different if Sermon was in, and I think we could say definitively that it would have been a closer score. Ohio State would surely have scored more points.
Yeah.
If they had more of this balanced offensive attack. You know, obviously, like, Fields is going to have a little bit of a struggle if Alabama can sell out for the pass, because they don't have to worry so much about the run. So, obviously, a bummer. But, you know, I think the struggles for Ohio State were certainly not on the offensive side this year. And one area of opportunity heading into the 2021 season, because, you know, we're there now, would certainly be the defense, and in particular, our defensive secondary.
Like you said, if Trey Sermon were in, it would have remained a shootout. But Alabama would have just answered every score with another one. And the only way to stop that is stopping Devontae Smith, which we just, like, literally decided not to do. I mean, and so Matt brought up a good point, which is, because I was like, did Sean Wade just start jogging after him? Like, did he just give up there? There were a few plays where I swear he could have ran faster. And Matt said, like, one time Devontae Smith, like, took a different route, and so the rest of the time Sean Wade was just confused as to what the guy was going to do, and he was just out-coached. Why is our slowest linebacker, Tough Borland, on Devontae Smith? It all came down to the coaching, and I don't even want to badmouth the players, because if you don't have good play calling or good preparation, like, you're just set up for disaster, especially against an Alabama offense. So I don't want to get too much into Sean Wade because we are going to talk about the future of Sean Wade, Justin Fields, Chris Olave after the break. So stay with us. So I can't believe that we're already talking about the 2021 draft, because I feel like we were just talking about this 2 weeks ago, about like Chase Young and Jeff Okuda going number two, number three. Nevertheless, it's time to dive into mock drafts yet again. So I guess we'll start with the bad news, which is Sean Wade kind of shot himself in the foot coming back an extra year after Monday's game. I think he's going to need to have a hell of a combine performance or senior day to bump up his draft stock.
Well, it's what you were alluding to with the coaching situation. So, like, certainly there are deficiencies in Sean Wade's play, because at the collegiate level, if you are that talented of a player, you're going to be able to make those on-field adjustments to succeed, right?
Right.
But I do have to wonder, and we've talked about this in regards to coaching and the coaching carousel, will scouts give players maybe more of the benefit of the doubt if, like, they have played such a weird season?
Yeah, that's
true. The data is not fully there. Like, Sean Wade has fewer games and less film than other players, but, like, there are so many other options in the NFL, like, hundreds of schools, like, what is that, 130-some schools in the FBS?
Yeah.
Like, they have plenty of other options, you know, if Sean Wade doesn't play enough games.
Yeah. But again, like, the guy is one of our best defensive players. The coaching staff just did not set him up for success, which hurts him with the draft. So Chris Olave, on the other hand, I don't think he is even considering coming back. All the experts are saying his draft stock rose tremendously just because of his game against Clemson and even his game against Alabama.
Yeah, and it's been really exciting to watch Chris Olave in the last few years, and I remember him. Do you remember when he was a freshman against Michigan?
Yes. Oh my gosh, why did that feel forever ago?
Because it was forever ago. Yeah. The world was a different place back then. But, you know, it's been really interesting, especially since Ryan Day has joined the Ohio State staff, to see how much the receiving core has improved and how we've been able to put out NFL caliber receivers again. I feel like, am I crazy? I feel like there was a drought for a while.
Oh, you're not
crazy. Like, Santonio Holmes and Ted Ginn and then who?
Yeah, and then it was just relying on your running back. I mean, I almost feel like even in 2014, it was all Zeke. Like, Michael Thomas was a great receiver, but he really broke out in the NFL.
Yeah.
And I
mean,
feel
you look
like
at Devin Smith, who was, you know, one of the leading receivers on the national championship team, and he's sort of a flop when it comes to the NFL.
Yeah. Chris Olave, though, he is like he's not a Devontae Smith, and where he catches the ball and then he's gone and in the end zone. Like, he's just so productive. Like, he will catch anything Justin Fields throws at him, and he might not score the most. He's just so dependable, and I would even compare him to Michael Thomas in the league. Like, he's not leading his team in touchdowns, but he has a billion receiving yards. So I think his future is very bright, and any NFL team is going to be lucky to get him. The really shocking one that Mel Kiper and Todd McShay just said, Justin Fields would benefit from returning to college for another year. And I kind of agree and disagree in that I just really want to see Justin Fields play at Ohio State one more year, selfishly, but, like, he needs to just go get paid.
I mean, I have a thought on the matter. And the reality is that this, like this year's quarterback class is so deep. And it's not, like, Justin Fields should not see any downside because of, like, someone else's activity or misfortune, or it's not misfortune, but, like, Dwayne Haskins, like, is fully a flop, right? And he operated under the same system. He put up big numbers at Ohio State just like Fields did, and he, like, went to Washington, and, you know, there's issues at Washington. He didn't have a ton of players around him except for Terry McLaurin, who's killing it. But and it was very much, like, attitudinal as opposed to play. And, like, we can't attribute that to Justin Fields. But, like, I do wonder if NFL scouts will, like, kind of put that same, well, he's played in a successful system at Ohio State, but we saw what happened with Haskins, and therefore we need more information. Yeah, I don't know if like that's how scouts feel, but like I do wonder if just given a deep draft class, if they have that doubt, if that's going to lower his stock a little bit. Again, by no fault of his own.
Oh, right. But the Haskins news is still very fresh. So maybe next year people will have forgotten about it. Maybe Haskins is even on another team. Justin Fields, I think, is the one that everybody is going to be watching the closest out of Ohio State, because I've heard rumors that he's considering staying. But like you said, we will be finding out a lot in these next coming weeks as the deadline approaches for these players. Meredith, I know that you have to go soon for your day job. So do you just want to roll into the end of the show shoutouts?
Sure do. So last week I shouted out the Cleveland Browns for making the playoffs for the first time in 18 years. And now I'm going to shout out the Cleveland Browns for winning a playoff game for the first time since 1994.
Taking all of the Ohio mojo, but it's fine.
If there's any sad Ohio State fans out there who want to jump on the Cleveland bandwagon, we need fans.
That's me.
Thank you, Tia. We will count you among the Dogtown this weekend. But so exciting. I told everyone, oh no, I was like, I don't know what to do right now. The last time this happened, I was 4. Like, I was an actual, no, I think I was 3. I was like an actual child. And so it's just incredible. And, you know, even after Ohio State lost, I was like, I'm still floating on air a little bit from Sunday. We have to play the Chiefs and we'll see how that goes. But yeah, it just feels nice to be included. But anyway, Tia, how about you?
Okay, well, mine is like very sad, and I'm sorry to end this on a sad note, but Cam, my husband's grandpa, just passed away, and it was like kind of a long time coming. Like, he was very much suffering from cancer, and so the family is more or less just relieved that he's out of pain. But I think just like the sweetest, most cutest thing. So they live in Australia, but he was like the world's biggest Eagles fan because of Cam. And his funeral was yesterday, and apparently he asked to be buried in his Eagles jersey with like Cam's number. And I just wanted to like bawl my eyes out when I heard that. It's just so cute. But just wanted to say actually a shout out to Cam's family, especially his mom, whose dad it was, and she like did all the readings at his funeral and like did not shed a tear and was just super, super strong. So shout out to them, shout out to her. Again, sorry, I'm ending the show on a super sad note.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay.
I'm just over here crying now. Thank you.
All right. Well, anyway, that is all we have for today. As a reminder, you can follow me on Twitter at @TiaJohnston_, Meredith at @MeredithHine, and the site at @LandGrant33. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks again for listening to Play Like a Girl. And as always, go Bucks.